Chapter 14. The Guest. It was Major Quive Smith, the man who had followed me in London, who had shot me by the stream. I'm sure of it because the way he behaved later corresponded to the character of the man who had waited patiently near the sidecar hidden in the water and who had called my name to make me turn my head. On the third day after the shooting, my shoulder felt a little better. I climbed out of my burrow, through the chimney, and crawled from bush to bush until I came to a large tree at the bottom of the lane. I climbed up into the tree and looked at the surrounding land. I could see the whole valley and the two farms on either side of my lane. I didn't know the real names of the farmers, but I called them Pat and Patachon. Pat was a tall, thin young man, and he and his wife had six children. His wife also raised hens and sold the eggs and the chickens. I had seen Pat and his wife eating blackberries in the woods. Patachon was a strong, red-faced old man, and his farm was bigger than Pat's. He often carried a gun in the hope of shooting a rabbit or a pigeon for dinner. He had tried to shoot at Asmodeus once or twice, but the cat was much too quick for him. All morning I saw nothing of interest from the tree, but in the afternoon, two men in a car drove up to Patachon's farmhouse. One of the men got out and went into the house. The other drove away. Clearly, someone had come to stay at the farm. I stayed in the tree and watched because I was worried who the visitor might be. In the evening, Patachon and his visitor came out of the farmhouse with guns under their arms, prepared for a walk around the estate. I didn't see them again for an hour, but I heard a few shots from some distant part of Patachon's farm. When they returned, they walked directly towards my tree. Then I saw that Patachon's visitor was Major Quive Smith. The two men were talking about shooting and hunting. "There's nothing to shoot in the hedge this year," said Patachon. "Really? Why not?" Quive Smith asked. "Because of the cat," the farmer explained. He was obviously talking about Asmodeus. "He hides around here and chases all the birds and rabbits away. I haven't been able to catch him. I wish I could." After some time, they went back to the farm for dinner, and I returned to my burrow. I didn't yet know Quive Smith's true nationality or name, but from his appearance, I didn't think he was English. I had seen that he was tall, slim, blonde, and a clever actor. At the moment, however, he was acting the part of an English gentleman, having a simple farm holiday and some cheap shooting. It was a perfect disguise, and it gave him an excuse to carry a gun. I stayed in my burrow for two miserable days. I envied Quive Smith, who was free to walk around outside and who was having the excitement of hunting me. On the third afternoon, I couldn't stand the dirt and the lack of movement any longer, so I climbed out of the chimney and crawled along the ground until I found a place where I could hide among some bushes. It was good to be out in the open air, and I sat there for some time. At sunset, I saw Major Quive Smith on the hillside opposite me. Suddenly, I realized that he had created a trap for me. He had guessed that I would come out of my hiding place eventually, and he knew that these bushes would be the best place for me to hide. He was already coming silently towards me. There was no escape. There was only one thing I could do. He hadn't actually seen me, and he couldn't be sure that I was in the bushes. "Get off my land!" I shouted, imitating Farmer Pat's high voice and local accent quite well. "Go to the gate and get off my land quickly, or I'll call the police!" "I'm very sorry," said Quive Smith in a loud, embarrassed military voice. He was acting his part well. He turned and walked back up the field. I ran back along the hedge, crawled under the blackberry bush, and went into my burrow. I heard no more of him that night. How much does he know? I asked myself. He must realize that I wasn't badly injured when he shot me. After all, I was able to run away from the stream quite quickly, and there was no blood on the ground. So he must be asking himself where I'm hiding, and the answer must be in the lane. It's the only place in this area where someone can hide without being found easily. It was clear to me now that Clive Smith would be watching the lane carefully until the police or the public reported that I was somewhere else. This meant that I would have to stay underground from now on, even though my burrow was dirty and cold. I would have to cover the opening to my chimney if I didn't want him to find it. Once the chimney was covered, it would be impossible for me to climb out of the burrow. I had been underground now for 9 days. Smoking and cooking were too dangerous, but I had plenty of food, a large store of nuts, and most of the tinned meat and groceries that I had brought back from my last trips to the village. I also had plenty of water. I had very little space. The inside room was full of wet earth, and I had to use it as a lavatory. I spent most of my time lying on or inside my sleeping bag in the original burrow, which was only a few square metres. I couldn't dig any more because Clive Smith would hear the noise. I spent a part of each day in the chimney with my head out of the top, but this didn't give me enough fresh air. Sometimes I couldn't even tell whether it was day or night outside because the blackberry bush outside the chimney was so thick and surrounded by trees and the hedge. Asmodeus was my solace. We lived in the same space, in the same way, and ate the same food, except that Asmodeus didn't eat cereal, and I didn't eat field mice. We seemed to understand each other very well indeed, and sometimes I even thought that there was a kind of telepathy between us. I felt that all my luck was finished. We're so dependent on luck, good and bad. Now I had no hope, and that's why I decided to write this confession. It allowed me to remember who I was and what I had done in my life. At the time, I had no existence in the outside world, so I stayed underground.